Hi, everyone. It's Ryan Hoover, your host of Product Hunt Radio, where I'm joined by the founders, investors, and makers that are shaping the future of tech. Today's episode of Product Hunt Radio is the largest one yet, featuring the Backstage Capital crew. We have Arlen Hamilton, who isn't your typical VC. She went from being homeless not too long ago to founding and scaling Backstage Capital, a fund dedicated to investing in underrepresented or underestimated, as she's coined, founders. Since 2015, they've invested millions of dollars into 100 plus companies. Prior to starting the fund, she worked in the music industry, where she was a tour manager and founder and publisher of Interlude. Christy Pitts joins us as well, the co-founder of Backstage Studio, their recently announced venture studio. Prior to teaming up with Arlen and team, she worked on the Verizon Ventures portfolio, closely following emerging technology trends. And then we have Brian Landers. He's the recently promoted COO and producer of two of Backstage's podcasts. Previously, he followed a career in product management, like myself, and design. And lastly, we have Amaya Shepherd, an operations associate and analyst working on the deal flow team at Backstage, with a particular interest in beauty and wellness startups. In this episode, we chat about Backstage's mission to find and support a new wave of underestimated founders, the importance of role models, and for the second week in a row, we talk about mullets. I know, it happened. But before I jump in, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. We'd like to thank Airtable for making the show possible. I've been speaking with a diverse mix of companies that use Airtable to build their business, including Austin Allred, co-founder of Lambda School.
Tell me more about Lambda School. What are you doing there?
We train people to be software engineers and data scientists in live online classes. But we do it for free in exchange for a share of people's future income for a couple of years. The goal is to get access to world-class education to everybody.
If you were to choose one word to describe Airtable, what would that word be?
Oh man, I would say fun.
Usually don't hear people describe anything that resembles a spreadsheet as fun.
Definitely not. I honestly wonder if sometimes people don't realize how incredible the tech under the hood must be to make all this work. I mean, it's astounding that you just have a database that loads in the cloud seamlessly and quickly. That engineering team should win awards. It's pretty incredible.
You can get $50 in free credit by visiting airtable.com/producthunt. So Intercom, one of the supporters of the podcast here, is a product we've used since the beginning. We use it for support and some of our outbound messaging, has a lot of really advanced features like trigger-based notifications, and I'm here with Jake, head of support on the team, to chat more about it. So Jake, how have we been using it for some of the notifications we've been doing over the years?
Yeah, you know, Intercom has these built-in ability to send out automatic triggers to our users, and anytime that we've launched new features on the site, it's been extremely helpful to be able to set up these auto messages to go out to our users to inform them. Even when we're not online, it can continue to send those out and give our users the information they need to stay up to date on our new features.
If you're building a community or really any product with users, you can do this too. Check out intercom.com. Hello, everybody. This is Ryan Hoover with Product Hunt Radio. I'm here with a bunch of people. It's a big group.
Hello.
Can confirm.
This might be one of the most lively podcasts yet.
Buckle up.
That's a lot of pressure now.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So we're gonna reveal each person one by one. Let's start with Brian, though.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So maybe we'll do, who are you? What's your favorite color? No, you don't have to say color. I don't know.
I'm Brian Landers. I'm the COO of Backstage Capital. This is a new title for me, by the
Woo!
Way, as of today.
Feels so good to hear that.
Yeah, that feels great.
Are we going to do round robin and then we'll talk about Backstage Capital?
Yeah.
Brian is producing someone else's podcast.
And right? I produce The Bootstrap VC, hosted by Arlen Hamilton, a podcast you all, if you don't listen to it already, you should go check it out.
Hit subscribe.
Thank you.
And hi, everyone. My name is Amaya Shepherd. I am currently operations associate and analyst on the DealFlow team here at Backstage.
Uh-oh. What's up? I'm Christy Pitts. I'm Arlen's co-founder at Backstage Studio and an investment partner at Backstage Capital. And my favorite color is blue and I hate shredded lettuce.
Ooh, wow. This is intense. I feel a lot of pressure right now. I am Arlen Hamilton, the founder and managing partner of Backstage Capital and the CEO of Backstage Studio.
Cool. Today's kind of a special day.
Yes.
Tell us about it, Arlen.
In our backstage world, definitely. So right now we are at an undisclosed location, a secret location, and we are doing one of our investor days, our patented investor days, where instead of doing like a demo day, we invite several of our portfolio companies to meet one-on-one with several awesome investors, including yourself. This is your first time here, right, Ryan?
Yeah, it is.
That's cool. Yeah. And you're gonna head into the Lion's Den in a minute and hopefully talk to some awesome people. I know you will because they're all great. And we want to have these really special one-on-one conversations. So I think they're 20 to 30 minutes where you really get to know someone and pour through the decks. And it's been great so far.
It feels efficient because actually in most cases, you probably don't need 60 minutes or an hour to speak and meet with a founder for the first time. Certainly after that, you need to meet more and talk more. But to first meet each other, you don't need a lot of time. And also here I get to meet, I think it's five companies I'm going to meet in a few hours time.
That's right. And it's not the 5-minute kind of investor dating type thing where you just boom, boom, boom. And I think they're also, we try to do our best to really match where people are going in, knowing why they're sitting with that person too. Mm-hmm. So that's been really cool. So we had one in Los Angeles. We have one now in San Francisco, and then we'll have one in New York.
When is the New York one?
It's in October, late October.
October
26th.
There we go.
Apparently.
First off, I love the name Backstage because there are too many VCs that are really sterile sounding, like VC firms that are the last name of certainly like usually an old white guy at some point years ago.
Yeah.
But also the backstage metaphor works with so many things that you're doing. It's like you're doing like a tour or a roadshow right now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Just like a musician.
Yeah. We have a lot of things internally that work with the brand too. Like we have a mixtape that goes out, which is our newsletter that goes out to our portfolio every Tuesday. We have all sorts of resources that we give names to and
green room,
different things like the green room on our website is where you can kind of peek behind the scenes and see things. It's definitely been pretty cool. And I actually didn't come up with the name Backstage. My mom did. Arlene Sims came up with it. Yes. She came up with it in about 10 minutes. It was before I had any investor, any LP. And I was going to call it something else. I used to have a magazine called Interlude, and it was a music magazine. And it really worked for that because it was like taking a pause from everything and getting, you know, to really know the musicians. And I loved it for that. So I was going to call it Interlude Ventures. But then I thought that seems too fleeting. It seems like it's just fly by night, and I want to be around for a long time.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a fund to speak of. I was in Pearland and we were driving around, and I said to my mom, you know that fund I want to do? And she's like, yeah. And I said, what should we call it? 5 minutes later, she said, what about Backstage? Because you're always working backstage to help musicians. You could do the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But I was like, oh my goodness, you're a genius. And now my mom is like, yeah, where's that 15%?
Yeah. Where's my piece of the carry?
Shirts for her, though.
Yeah. She's like, she has her whole wardrobe is now done. It's taken care of with our t-shirts and hoodies.
Nice. We were just talking about some of your teams in LA, but you're distributed, right?
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that, Amaya.
Yes. So all of our team works remotely all over the country. And it's really beautiful because we really are only bounded by Wi-Fi. So we have not only people in these major cities like LA and San Francisco, but there's people in Colorado and Florida, just all over the world with our new accelerator in London. So it's really cool, like, that you can be able to work from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Product Hunt team is also distributed, has been from the beginning. And do you think when you're looking at companies to invest in, is it a pro or a con if a company is distributed? Do you have a perspective on that?
I personally think it's a pro when companies are distributed. I think what's really interesting, Brian and I were talking about this before, is that sometimes people ask about the challenges of being a distributed company. And from my perspective, there's also challenges of not being a distributed company. Like there's inner office dynamics and politics that can be kind of weird for people. Like this person went to lunch and didn't invite me. And like none of that happens when you're a distributed company.
Because we're always so happy to see each other when we see each other because it's that
kind of like long distance relationships.
Yeah.
Yes.
You've been apart from your significant other for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had our crew meeting this morning, and even just seeing people coming in and seeing each other is just like
always
so
joyous.
Heartwarming.
Yeah. And then 2/3 of our portfolio are outside of California, even though a lot of our team is in California. We did that by design. We look at it as, I don't know if I personally look at it as a better or worse thing, but I don't think of it as a deterrent for us investing, certainly. And we've done that with our dollars.
Yeah.
What do you think about it, Ryan? I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think there's, I've always kind of said this saying, like, there's no right way to start up. Like, there's certainly best practices and dumb things you can do that, you know, most people would advise against, but actually don't like to prescribe, like, this is the way you should do it. Like, and that also goes for fundraising too. A lot of people have this assumption or default to, oh, I need to start a startup. I should go raise money now. Like, maybe not. And so for me, I'm certainly pro distributed teams if it makes sense for your culture and how you set up your team. And for us at Product Hunt, it's been great because, like, fundamentally, we can hire anyone in the world effectively.
Yeah.
Whereas, yep. you know, in San Francisco, it's really hard to build, especially like a 20-person team if you're hiring only people in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Not only is it competitive, but you're just limiting yourself to 0.1% of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And it's sort of the same usual suspects as well. And you're just having to edge up and do more and more to compete, and you kind of get away from the actual work.
Yeah. Are you traveling around to find founders and companies in other areas? You mentioned that, was it two-thirds outside of California?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that now.
How are you finding those founders and companies?
Oh, well, we travel. I mean, I travel 300 days a year. So I'm always somewhere. Jeez.
That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. And there's a lot of team members who move around too. And then we have a lot of, because we work remotely, we do have a great system in place to talk to people remotely. And that was always important to us. In fact, we started out the gate really with people being able to email me to apply. And then we have an application process that got more and more organized, but it's never been this thing where you have to have a warm introduction to us. And that has meant that people from all over who live anywhere can have the same chance as someone who lives as my next door neighbor. And believe me, my neighbors have tried to pitch me.
Yeah.
Everyone tries to pitch.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably challenging to deal with, right? How do you say no to your neighbor? They're going to see him every day.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Yeah, I know. It's just like friends and family. My mom, let me tell you, we announced a fund that we'll be investing $1 million at a time into Black women. It's nicknamed the It's About Damn Time Fund. So we announced that. My mom saw the announcement because I didn't tell her, you know, and she sent me a text and she was serious. She said, I'm Black and I'm a woman. Where do I sign up? And she kind of says it every once in a while still. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay.
Well. I'm into it, Mrs. Sims. And I have autonomous check writing ability.
Oh, that's
call
true.
Me.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, that's probably the best way to do it. Like, you know, do the math, mom, doctor.
Let's Christy see that first. Deck.
Yeah. We'll set up the pitch meeting now.
Yeah, I've gotten used to saying no to people. I think the only time it's hard to say no these days is when we want to be in a company, but we don't have the dry powder at that time for that company. And that's what only thing I regret. I regret the misses. You know, you think about these missed opportunities. I don't really, good or bad, I don't feel like, oh, I have FOMO or I have like regret there. I regret the ones where we were in the deal. We had a yes. We had allocation as much as we wanted. And we just simply didn't have the capital. And then you go on to see them do great. And I love that they're doing great. I think that's a luxury of mine is not to have any regret on things where I made the wrong decision, because sometimes I'll see things where I'm like, oh, I said no to that. It's doing really well. That is only good for all of us.
Yeah. So what spaces are you looking at? Brian, are you, what's your COO? Does that entail working with founders and taking pitches too? Or how do you kind of split up your time? What do you look for?
It doesn't have to, but it does in my case, just because I'm really interested in learning about VC. That was what attracted me to working with Arlen at first. Apart from just, you know, I had a podcast actually, and I was featuring underrepresented founders, who we call underestimated founders now. And I met Arlen, and I was going to ask her if I could interview her founders, but then I ended up meeting Arlen, and I was like, okay, that's the story I want to tell.
Yeah.
She was so impressive. This was 30 companies, I think, in the portfolio.
Yeah,
so yes, we work with we have 100 companies that we've invested in. We call them our headliners. If you hear us say that word, that's what we're talking about, our portfolio companies. So there's a lot of work to do there. Probably, you know, about more than half of them are fundraising currently.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So there's a lot of work with co-investors, you know, learning about those different stages of development for the companies. But then, yeah, we're actually a 25-person team here at Backstage Capital now. So, so a lot of my role is just making that team work. And we're talking about remote teams. So there's a lot of tools to kind of glue all that together. And, you know, communication is more challenging, but you know, there's a lot of, thanks to Product Hunt, there's a lot of, you know, resources out there.
Yeah, nice plug.
I love Product Hunt Radio. Yeah. I've listened to the first version.
You're listening to now. You listened to the first, the OG one.
When Eric was on and you were on a bunch and then you kept threatening to bring it back. And then it was like, where is it? Where is it?
Yeah. Sure. I know that Christy spends a lot of time with not only founders that are in our portfolio, but founders that are looking to be in our portfolio. So probably has a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
I do have a lot to say. What am I talking about?
No, but I know Christy. I mean, if you talk about, so Brian, the way I look, see Brian is like an architect. I keep using that word, but it's like an architect to make things run the way that we need them to run. And then there's so many things involved. And then Christy is just, I don't know. There's not a word for Christy. Christy does everything.
It's inexplicable.
She does everything and with such modesty and,
excellence.
All of that and excellence. Yes. And it's true.
She's
and
blushing
so,
over
but,
there.
Yeah. So we're investment
you can't
partners.
See that I'm
so
right
we
now.
Make the majority of the investment decisions, and then we have a deal flow team that makes the rest of them. And Christy and I are the ones, are the two that can make sort of like she said before, threatened, I think.
Mrs. Sims, are you still listening?
She's got a
checkbook. I want to talk.
She can make autonomous decisions, and then there are a few people on the team who are looking to kind of move up and up in that role.
Yeah, what kind of companies or spaces are you excited about, Christy?
So there's one space I'm super excited about, Arlen knows, which is 5G. And I feel like it's under the radar right now, and it's deservedly so. But I think if we – so I have a whole thesis around this, like, and I can go super nerdy into it. But basically, it boils down to the fact that we're about to have another mobile revolution. And right now, there are some companies that are working on the technology enabling piece of this. But I think there's going to be a whole new wave of companies that change the way that we interact with each other and with products and services. And so from a timing perspective, I'm really excited as we go into next year to start seeing companies that are iterating for the possibility of having like a gigabit down to your phone, which is completely different paradigm than what we've been in before.
If you are an underrepresented founder and you're working in that space, you definitely need to find Christy, right? Christy at backstagecapital.com with IE.
Christy with IE.
Christy IE.
There you go.
Yeah,
because, I mean, think about, like, the further we go along and we get more and more into these verticals and more the aperture gets smaller and smaller. The aperture itself gets larger, but the hole gets smaller.
Arlen's an amateur photographer, so this is
yeah,
really he's
sort of
facts.
Amateur in there, No, but that, you think about that, and it's like, I always try to give somebody, you know, give people a little bit of an edge and when they're trying to approach backstage, because if the, I guess the nerdier you can be.
The nerdier you can be, come and talk
to
me.
Come to Christy.
Perfect.
Yeah. If you want to talk, what kind of stuff do you like, Amaya? I know you have some interesting focuses.
So I'm the beauty and wellness analyst on the team. So I look for specifically for beauty and wellness technology companies. So companies that are utilizing technology to really engage beauty consumers in a whole different way. So really what I'm looking for are beauty companies and wellness companies that are leveraging and marrying different intersections. So whatever that looks like for them and really committing to that and doing it in a disruptive way, because people know women will use beauty and wellness products even if they are deadly or just dangerous for them. So I'm really trying to figure out the products or the companies that are trying to not do that. And yes, clean beauty and things like that, but really taking it a step up a notch and utilizing technology to do that in the most effective way, because technology companies are doing it. And I just like to see them more. And I like to see women and Black women specifically who have used these products historically much more than other people and like really take a claim in it and have ownership over this space.
I have a request for product in this space.
Okay.
I was searching for this product for myself. So I'm wearing a hat. People on the podcast can't tell. I've been growing my hair out. It's been like 5 months and it's getting really kind of shaggy and I'm getting like some mullet action here. And the goal is to see, okay, do I look good even with long hair? I don't even know yet. So I was searching.
So you need an AR app.
I was searching for an AR app that could put longer hair on myself that would look natural. And I couldn't find anything that was anywhere close to realistic. So if anyone is building something like that, Ryan at weekend.fund or
Amaya, A-M-I-A-H at backstagecapital.com.
It's actually something that we've talked about a little bit in a different way. We've talked about it with Wigs at Backstage Studio.
Mm-hmm.
It could be interesting there too.
Are there
could I pull off a wig? Are there wigs but for
we,
white
why
males?
Why do we always get, back to mullets?
Lace front.
You and I always get back to mullets. That's how true. Does it always happen?
Oh, that's right.
So yeah. I had the vision of you in a wig, and it absolutely you can.
Now it's happening.
It has I to be like an 80s sentiment. Sort of, you know, feathers. Like wrestler feathered, feathered yeah. back. Wow. And it's like, yeah. And you hear like a guitar going when it happens.
That, so I got to learn the guitar too.
Yeah.
Let's do a request for product session. These could be ideas yes. or things that you have been thinking about, or it could be literally yeah. right now you just came up with the idea. Let's go around the table. Start with Brian. Like what?
Oh, wow.
What
Starting
product
with Brian.
Would
I don't
you
know.
Use,
this is a little bit of nepotism over here.
Brian and Brian.
Brian and Brian.
Yeah.
You know, in a funny way, the bottleneck for me is just my time. Like I think there are so many wonderful, honestly. Okay, here you go, Ryan. I check Product Hunt email every morning. Like literally it's my morning routine, right? There's probably at least two links in that damn email. Sorry. No, I love the email. It's amazing. But I feel like I have to click on these links because they're just so compelling and they look like something I could use daily because they're tailored to each person, right? I'm like, is that
are you,
true?
Are you no, telling us that actually. You're trying to leave us, Brian?
No. No. I like this new role. So
COO as of today.
And they're all really good. And I'm so impressed by the makers that are on Product Hunt and the founders that we see through our, you know, deal flow team. It's just staggering the amount of talent and, you know, great ideas. And it's funny how many of, you know, people working on similar products and similar problems that you see when you're on the investor side of the table. I'm sure you're seeing that a lot now too.
Yeah. You see a lot of pattern. Well, since my job is basically to see all these products every single day, I end up seeing similar ideas tried over the years or months. And it's always kind of interesting to see how, like, what their flavor is on this approach, whether it's a live streaming app or something like that. There certainly were a lot of those that spun up in the past couple of years. And a lot of them have different approaches on how to build that experience. I find it fascinating too.
Yeah. So I actually don't have a request for proposal, and it's not going to be digital celebrities or anything like that, but I'm pretty satisfied with what people are creating so far. So I'll pass the mic.
Starting a business is hard. Accepting money shouldn't be. That's why Product Hunt is built on Stripe. In the early days, before we had a real team or any funding, we spent way more time than anticipated trying to figure out how to collect payments from our customers. We cobbled together a bunch of different solutions, but the end result wasn't professional, our accounting was messy, and even worse, it was a terrible experience for our users. Then we switched to Stripe. Integration was easy, and we started collecting money from people around the world without janky redirects or a lot of friction. Today, we use Stripe to collect subscription revenue from makers and startups around the world using Ship. Their web dashboard makes it really easy for anyone on the team to create new SKUs or discounts for customers without writing a single line of code. Whether you're building a marketplace, a SaaS company, or a subscription product, Stripe makes it easier to get paid. They also make it easier to get started with Stripe Atlas. Founders all over the world can incorporate a new business, set up a bank account, and access everything they need to get running in just a few clicks. If you want to start a business and make money on the internet, check out stripe.com.
Maya, what do you want? So, switching gears, I need a waterproof do-rag and bonnet.
Word.
Because I just don't see why everybody's making do-rags and bonnets. And I wash my face and it gets all wet and soggy and messes up my hair that I'm trying to cover. It's just
Girl, you need
real...
to talk to Dawn Dixon. Talk to
right?
Dawn Dixon. Yeah, I'm sure she would put something together.
Alley.
Yes. Let's see what she would
These
do.
These are real life problems.
So, yeah.
Those don't exist that you
no,
found?
No, I don't think I've been looking for one, and a lot of new bonnet companies are coming out. Like you are saying, there's different themes and trends that you see, yet there's the problems are sometimes not being fixed. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there are new bonnet and do-rag companies out.
Yeah.
Because of the popularity that they're getting in more mainstream culture. But as a user of necessity, I'm like, well, I've been using this my whole life, and yet there is no solution.
Mm-hmm. Backstage portfolio.
Backstage
Let's
studio.
Let's find a solution for Maya.
There
I know
go.
Someone
Please.
In our portfolio can find a solution, can create a solution, and bring it to Backstage Studio.
I need it.
Word.
All right. So I do have something, which is I find it really hard to find audio, like podcast audio or people when they're sharing their opinions on things.
Needle.
And so Needle is a really interesting company that's in our own portfolio that allows for search of any live audio, live broadcasting. And I think that there's actually other players in this space, some of Needle's competition. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really promising. It's interesting because we just announced that we're launching the accelerator.
Yes.
And so as part of the work in prior to launching the accelerator, I went back and I searched and listened to probably 20 or 30 different podcast episodes from people that had either they're running accelerators or they've gone through and they were talking about their experiences. And it was really enlightening, the fact, like, when I tried to find this information, it was hard in a way that it shouldn't be today. Yeah. So if you're listening, fix that.
So Google, of course, has indexed the world's information that's primarily text. I mean, yeah, they have images and everything, but it started off as text-based search and categorization. That doesn't actually exist as like you're describing for podcasts and audio.
I think the closest that we're getting is Needle. Like, I think that that's where they're going with it. They want you to be able to look up what's the latest thing on this subject or this category so that you can parse through what
All the podcasts that Arlen's on? Because, I mean, you've been on all these podcasts, but like,
that's a whole nother.
That's what I've seen, Ryan. So there are products doing the search engine, but they're limited by the catalog that they have available because it takes, Microsoft cloud time or whatever, or Amazon time to transcribe or whatever, turn it into something that's searchable.
It shouldn't be so hard though for like iTunes, like everything that's on iTunes to be searchable.
Right.
We're getting there. I bet you would.
You should hear the facts on how many podcasts are created. I don't know. Yeah. Do you know them, Ryan? It's staggering.
Exactly.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So Google, I think this is public information, but I know Google is working on this. If not, they already have something in production where they will be surfacing and indexing podcast content in the top of Google search results. So presumably you could search for Arlen, let's say, and let's say you just did a podcast and it might actually index and transcribe that podcast and allow you to see it and then listen to it.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
That'd be sweet. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
That'd be really helpful.
Good for marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, the thing about from the podcast side is if they start really pushing on that, it could actually lead to more discovery and distribution for podcasts, which is a huge struggle.
Because you put all of this love and care into creating each individual podcast, and then it sort of is archived and people do find it, but it would be just great to have a resurgence of interest in what you've done, and it's treated a little bit differently than video. I think it doesn't have the same it's not given the same respect, and I think that that's going to change just naturally too, so it'd be great to look for them.
One cool experiment there, have you heard of Entail? Anyone heard of that? It's this cool approach to podcasts, sort of making chapters out of podcasts, so that you might want to be studying accelerators, but you don't want to listen to the whole podcast episode featuring someone who started a TechStars program or something. So you would just zoom into that one little clip and then piece together a whole bunch of results, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Please.
We're liking all of this.
Right.
So the one that I have is for book club online, like book club management. Now there are some sites where you can like go to, it's like a big site and you can say, oh, I want to be part of a book club for this thing. And there's like 10,000 people in it. Mm. I'm saying I individually want to start a book club, but I want it to be remote or distributed. And I want to have a way that I can go in and people can sign up for it. And that's not a Facebook, a group. That's what I've been.
I was thinking
that's the only solution I've been given. It's not what I want because not everybody's on Facebook or using it. I no longer use Facebook except for every blue moon, first of all. And second of all, I want it to be more like something that can be kind of customized a little bit. And it's where you can make a suggestion for the book. You link to how everybody can buy the book or go out and get the book. You have dates that say this is when we're going to talk about this chapter. Mm-hmm. And then you have where you can even do like a live broadcast where you're having a conversation like a Zoom that gets integrated into it.
Put the author come in, do an AMA.
All sorts of things.
Meetup.com, but
yeah. Kids. And that's something that I mentioned recently that I would launch myself if I had some sort of time to do that, which I don't.
Listening to this podcast, if you want to build it for Arlen, like this might happen. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I would certainly back it if it was the right type of thing and be like a co-founder or something. Or again, studio, like Backstage Studio, we're building all kinds of things. So yeah, get in touch if you can imagine it with me, because I would love to use that.
Nice. I've heard, I recently came across a friend who has another friend who's doing a podcast club. So it's kind of like a book club, but it's for podcasts.
Yeah, I met some people in Germany that invited me to one of theirs. Yeah,
it's a pretty clever idea. I believe the way that they did it was very small, 8 people or so. And
but you could do it remotely. You could listen together, maybe have like some sort of back chatter. Cause it's kind of like when I was a kid, I'd watch with my family, like American Idol or something. And it's an event and it's fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you get to talk and banter and judge.
Oh, it's or AKA Black Twitter. I mean, we do that all day on Twitter.
Yeah.
And people do it all day, obviously. Or
but
sports.
For podcasts, you're sportsing people. Solo. Like,
you sportsing people.
It's true.
How do you make it a community experience?
Yeah, that's the same thing with the book, because it's not something that is like, it's on at 1 p.m. or you're doing this at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. But if it could be turned into that.
I think this is a huge opportunity that hasn't really been addressed yet. I had this idea a while ago. Like, so if you think about the concept of a sports bar, okay, so like Buffalo Wild Wings, right? Like you go there, you have wings, you watch a game, whatever.
Thanks, Christy. Now I'm starving.
Yes. Lemon pepper wings. I love you. Okay, so like the thing is, people have done this in their homes for shows, like different television shows. And I feel like that we haven't really moved that community idea into like a digital format. Like I think like the book club is a good example of this, right? Book clubs are still super analog if you want to be in a book club. I mean, I'm not in one, but...
I'm curious to get Arlen's take on this specifically, because this Turntable FM is one of those companies and products that when it came out, it was like magic. It was the first time where music felt alive on the internet and where you could really truly enjoy and socialize around music just the same kind of way that you do when you go to a concert in person. And we've never seen since then, Turntable shut down a long time ago. We've never seen anything capture that magic. Arlen, since you've been in the music world, like, what are your thoughts around like creating digital experiences that replicate the like physical nature of going to a concert?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, someone said as long as you can't download a t-shirt, live music will always win, you know? And they said that a few years ago, and now you can download a t-shirt.
That's right.
So like, it's getting it. But I've for a while I had a call out for people who were, at the very least, making the live music experience more accessible to more people. And so I think when we think about like Seek VR, they bring live performances. They're in our portfolio. They bring live performances to people who have something as in the VR space, who have something as small as a Google Cardboard type situation, you know, instead of the $700 headset. But yeah, I'm always drawn to that. I'm more like live music world. So I haven't really dived too much into what's out there in the music world. But yeah, I mean, for me, like, that'll always be the first memory that I have of a community, of harmony in the world, of like that goosebump feeling. All of that came from live music. And so I want as many people as possible to be able to experience that. And I mean, you're like the live music king over
That's
here.
Right.
Like going to all of the, like, do you live at Coachella? Do you have like a bungalow there?
A bungalow. I wish.
Or like a tent in the parking lot.
I wish.
Do you have all of that?
I didn't always like live music, actually. It's only the past like 5 years or so. Okay. And for me, the goosebumps is a good articulation of that feeling you get when everyone, it's very tribal, actually.
Like,
there's this vibe of everyone around you is excited and they're not thinking about work. They're just enjoying the music. And it's just like this weird, joyous kind of event if you got the right vibe and the right people and the right music.
Yeah.
And granted, it's very different to do that online, but Turntable was the closest thing to kind of capture that magic, I feel.
Well, that's wide open too right now. Like, you can, someone's going to figure that out. And hopefully it's coming from a group of people who have very diverse backgrounds and points of view too. So it's like anything that we talk about, really, it's wide open for people, for like a diverse group to tackle, to make it even better, you know, to make it even cooler or more accessible.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that music does, brings people together. And it's actually better when you have surprises and you can get more surprises when you meet people or see people express themselves from different cultures or backgrounds.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm actually going to go meet some of your portfolio companies.
Yeah.
Headliners.
Before we jump, what do you want to plug? What's going on at Backstage? Any big announcements?
I think we should talk. I don't know when this comes out, but we'll do two. One is Fast Company. I don't know. Have you seen this, Ryan?
I did.
Did you see this? So
I was on Twitter for the past week, so I definitely saw it.
Yeah, sorry. I know people have like said that they're like muted my name. Twitter, because they're like, you're everywhere. Cover up Fast Company if you haven't heard. The reason that I find it to be important is that I'm the first Black woman who is not an entertainer, who's not a celebrity, to be on the Fast Company, which is not a celeb magazine. You know, it's just about damn time. And I want to prove that we sell. And so far it's been going really well. And so I think it's just an interesting time we're in. And I'm very proud and honored to be part of that. And the big, big announcement at Backstage is that at TechCrunch Disrupt, we announced that we have launched Backstage Accelerator. We practice that, huh? And Christy Pitts is leading the charge there. So I'll have her tell you more.
Yeah. Here's a quick rundown. So it's a global accelerator program. We're launching in spring of 2019 in four cities, which are Los Angeles, London, Philadelphia, and a fourth city that we have been taking votes on our website. We actually closed the voting last night. So I'm not sure when this podcast is going to air, but we will have an announcement out soon.
Are you choosing the city that was most upvoted, or are you going to choose?
It's a combination of things. We're using it. It's very heavily weighted on the vote because we want to be find product market fit, but it is also, we have other things in play too.
Yes. And so we're going to be supporting 6 to 8 companies per city. We have new team members starting in each of these cities that are helping us run the programs. We have new people joining the Backstage HQ team, like Wayne and Melinda from Change Catalyst and others. It's really exciting times. The whole team at Backstage has been working on this, and we're right now our focus is in creating a program that provides the most amount of value for the founders. Earlier today, we were discussing it, and Arlen said, you know, the terms of our investment through the accelerator is 5% in exchange of equity in exchange for 100K. And we were saying that we want to measure this. That value really needs to, you know, when a company goes through the program, at the end of the program, it should be worth even more than that to them.
Well, I would love for them to say they would have done twice as much just to be part of that, that we created that much value. So that's how we're kind of looking at things, you know.
That's our goal. That,
do you know Roy and the team at Bloomberg Beta?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a unique approach in that they do NPS scores for their portfolio. And it's, of course, anonymized, but that's how they measure their own internal success.
Oh, sure.
And it's a good way to get some feedback, because, of course, a founder is not going to, unless it's extreme, they're probably not going to like proactively say, hey, you really did a shitty job. You could have done better.
We tend to reach out to our portfolio because we have 100 companies too. So we tend to reach out to them every once in a while and try to get a measure of things. And I think that there's this perfect storm magic that's going on with Backstage right now. And hopefully one day we won't even be needed, but I think there's this appetite for what we provide, what we represent. And right now it's just so you'll see when you walk in there, it's just so communal. I think we all realize all boats rise with the tide. And when a portfolio company wins over here, everyone else is celebrating. And when something happens with the crew, everybody celebrates. It's just, it's really special, and I've never not quite experienced anything like it before.
There's a phrase that you or a term you used earlier, product market fit. Feels like you've hit product market fit when it comes to from an investor founder perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And now it's about really getting in there and keeping that quality super high, scaling in an elegant way, and keeping that quality the same, but reaching more people. And it's always about representation. You know, from the magazine cover that I'll mention one more time.
Fast Company.
I mean, how many times have we been on Fast Company? I'm going to talk about it for a month. It's going to happen, y'all. You can go ahead and mute your Twitter right now. I don't care. But like, it's the representation. It's the thing that, you know, there's a video of me that I posted crying when I saw this. And the reason that happened was just because I imagined myself 3 or 4 years ago seeing that when I was looking at Fast Company for hope and for information. And I was looking for myself in this world, and I didn't see that person. And the closest thing I can get to is like when Brian, you know, we've talked about this, like when you are a white guy, you do have Superman from the moment you can see things. You know that there's Superman, there's this person, there's that person. Mm-hmm, yeah. And you're kind of, that is the standard. That is like the default. So, you know, the reason we rally around someone like a Serena Williams and many others is not only because they're absolute royalty and fantastic, but it's, we're even as adults seeing ourselves for the first time. And so I cried when I saw this cover because I was looking back at who I would have wanted to see a few years ago. And I'm going to start crying again if I think about it. So I'm going to stop.
Yeah, no, it means, I mean, I'm a white guy, but I can recognize the importance, I think, as I've matured, of role models and representation. And of course, I've had the benefit of seeing that in my own life in different ways. But
Yeah, it's coming to light. We're seeing more. I mean, there's successes like Black Panther yes. and Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
And other movies like that that are getting a lot of success. And actually, I didn't really think about it. I didn't notice the missing roles of this audience sometimes just because I'm so used to what it's been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, think about it. You have thousands and thousands of people who are getting their shot at starting a company or innovating in some way or joining a company. And when I was like teaching myself, you know, there's this story of me kind of putting myself through like a 4-year homeschool type thing. When I was doing that, like my professors were awesome. They were people like Brad Feld and, you know, and Joanne Wilson and Fred Wilson and all that. But really it was like everybody was white. And that is kind of, if everyone that you learn from, every single person you learn from was black, you wouldn't think it was a bad thing, but you would think it would strike you. It would be something you noticed. That's how we feel when we walk into a room and everybody is white, who has some say, who can write a check, who can do something. And so that my ideal, I'm such an idealist. Like my ideal world is like all every race and color and creed and getting along and all that, you know,
in harmony on the future turntable.fm.
Yes. Reading a book in the side and talking about it later on this new website that we've created.
Washing our faces and not all
of,
for it.
And all of us are wearing a do-rag, including Ryan. That's right. Ryan. Yeah. that is waterproof.
And by then I have long hair. It's beautiful.
Right.
It's
yes. Fabio. And you can like.
It's a wig or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think since this is like Ryan was on our podcast, Ryan, and you, as you know, and we talked about mullets on that. We called it a mullet. I think we were in like the second or third episode. I think it's a cry for help. He wants some sort of long hair or wig.
Yeah.
Well, how can we make it happen? How do we make it happen for you?
I don't know. Internet, make it happen.
Yeah, let's get him this out. At the very least, let's get him very natural long hair and a picture so he can see what it looks like and see if it's worth growing out.
Yeah, we got some people with Photoshop skills.
Okay,
come on, internet, do your thing.
But on a serious note, like as a young black woman, this in business who went to college, even though you didn't go to college, mm-hmm. and seeing you on that magazine represented everywhere, it means so much because I had learned about business so far along and I couldn't connect the dots because no one in business really looked like me. Mm-hmm. Yet I was learning the tools I'm using right now, and to see you on that cover, it means so much because I'm like, that's you, that's me.
Yes.
That's you, that's somebody else.
Yes.
You know, it's about like not having the dominant narrative show one side. It's mm-hmm. about all these different sides being represented. And I think it's just so powerful to see you on there.
Thank you.
So proud. I'm Aww. Like,
oh, nice. Well, thank you very much.
On that note, hope somebody's crying. Hopefully tears just a little bit on the show.
Can I shout out some links, Ryan?
Yeah, Brian, go for it.
Okay, okay.
Yes.
Before we go, if you're interested in Backstage Accelerator or Backstage at all, please go check out backstagecapital.com/accelerator. It's very logical, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, we're good at domain names. But also, please go check out Arlen's collection on Product Hunt. So you can just go to producthunt.com/@ArlenWasHere.
Yeah.
And check out her collection because we have all of our portfolio companies.
100, the Backstage 100.
That's ARLAN.
Nice. And all their product.
We'll throw this in the podcast notes. We'll link to these things so people can find it.
Brian is forever producing everybody's podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ryan.
Brian's on top
He's
of
on
it.
Yeah.
Always.
That's why we have him here.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Product Hunt listeners.
Yeah.
Rock on. Let's go party.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, share the podcast with your friends on Twitter and tag a guest you'd like to hear in a future episode. See you soon.